Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Royals 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eddie, and joining me is someone who is familiar with Monterrey's newest signing. Not official, but pretty much accurate reporting is putting it almost there. It's from Cincy Soccer Talk, if I'm not mistaken. It's Brian Weigel. Brian, really appreciate it. We're recording like a few hours since that news dropped. You were like, hey, I'm ready now. I was like, okay, you know what? I'll take you at your word. Thank you for joining me. Just a little bit about you. I know you guys cover a lot of FC Cincinnati. We're going to get into that right now because there's a collision course between the two clubs that we root for if everything goes well. Introduce yourself a little bit, and then we'll break down why you're here.
Awesome, Eddie. Well, first off, vamos for all you Monterrey fans and tears for all the Cincinnati fans right now. Of course, Brandon Vasquez coming to Monterrey is a very exciting moment for both clubs. I've covered FC Cincinnati for this will be the club's ninth season, and it'll be my ninth season covering the club. We started out as in the tier three of the U.S. soccer landscape and worked our way up to Major League Soccer. It's been a wild ride filled with ups and downs of we call it wooden spoons in the States here, with the three last place finishes followed by what we call our supporter shield, which is the top team in the regular season this past year. So it's been a exciting time for Cincinnati and Cincinnati Soccer Talk. We're a website that covers FC Cincinnati. We've covered them from the beginning. We have three different podcasts: our main show, Tactical Breakdown show that features former coach Brad Goff, as well as former Arsenal and FC Cincinnati player Justin Hoyt. And then we have another preview show, which we might have to bring you on, Eddie, if we play in the next round.
Definitely. I was going to throw it out to you at the end of the podcast. One of the guys that has been, and I follow him. I live in Los Angeles, so I have two teams that I can just keep an eye on. I have the Galaxy and LAFC that kind of keep me informed about MLS and everything there. I know Cincinnati started off, didn't have the best of times in MLS, but then over the last couple of years, they've kind of turned it around. And one of the guys that's been at the forefront has been Brandon Vasquez. So, well, my question before I ask you, what does he bring? What does he do? His weaknesses, all that. At what point did you buy into the rumor? I know I feel like every football fan has this, whether it's arrivals, departures, whatever. Every football fan has it. When the rumor comes out, do they buy in, or do they take that wait and see approach? But at what point did you realize, like, oh shit, this is actually happening? Like, at what point did you realize, like, this is happening and this is not just some, one-off rumor that you usually see during the transfer window?
Normally, when something comes around with FC Cincinnati, it's normally about bringing in somebody versus selling. Brandon's really the second successful sold player that we've had in the 5 years of Major League Soccer. The first being Brenner on I think it's like a $12 or $11 million dollar sale over to Udinese in Serie A. So this past year, I mean, it was no rumor. I mean, this was no hesitation that this was his last year at FC Cincinnati. Honestly, he was gracious enough, had no ego, that he was able to, put his head down, be a professional player, work throughout the whole year knowing, hey, I'm successful. I got big teams sniffing around me. I'm going to, give one more year to the team that gave me my chance. And, when time came, he sold for a great rate to a historic club. I know he was talked about with Mönchengladbach over in Germany, a couple other teams in Germany, as well as I think Middlesbrough, several other teams over in England. And then, of course, Monterrey over the past 2 weeks, essentially. In dealing with, the podcasting realm and the stories realm, you kind of start sniffing around, and when you keep hearing updates from certain outlets or certain areas of the globe, and it's consistent and it's different people, you kind of say, okay, this is probably more likely than Middlesbrough, which Middlesbrough was the first one this offseason, but it was like one or two reports and that was it. And it was just regurgitation where Monterrey is like, this is happening. And, you know, now he's coming in for physical and X and Y. And, you know, then you kind of started to see it look like Monterrey was definitely the favorite. And, you know, Brandon has history in Mexico, so it makes a lot of sense for him to return to that tremendous league.
So let's get into the player. Obviously, he burst onto the scene, blossomed at FC Cincinnati after, I think he came, I think you brought him over from Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, Atlanta 2 or one of those, you know, tiers that they have. But at what point did you realize, hey, we have a really good striker on our hands?
Sure.
You know, it's obviously there's some late bloomers. I feel like maybe, you know, quote unquote, I mean, what, 24, 25, 20, you know, for a footballer, that can be a late bloomer just because you see so many players coming up 18, 19, 20, hit the ground running and can play against grown men. But at what point did you realize, hey, this is, we have a really good striker on our hands? At what point did you realize that?
Well, you know, we're used to a lot of late bloomers here in the States, of course, with the college game, but let's dial it, or, you know, kind of spin it back a little bit. Brandon is the product of the Tijuana Academy. He lived in San Diego, was developed in San Diego, and was able to join the youth system of Tijuana. He would literally go back and forth every day between San Diego school, Tijuana training, you know, as a daily occurrence. So, you know, he was used to a professional setup early on, had a high pedigree. And when the time came, I think he maybe had, I don't know if it was a senior appearance or maybe he made the bench, but he didn't have the full buy-in with Tijuana. And of course, Atlanta United pitched that big super club dream in the States. He had tremendous coach in Tata Martino came over there, was expected to do good things. And of course, had to sit behind Joseph Martinez, who was the, you know, MLS MVP, Golden Boot winner. And then time came, Nashville SC in the expansion draft, 2019 expansion draft, picked him. And then sold him to Cincinnati for what we call $150,000 in general allocation money, or GAM, which it's tough to put a dollar on it. But essentially, FC Cincinnati bought the guy for $150,000 as a flyer. We had very little success. We were looking for a goal scorer, and he came in and immediately got benched by Jaap Stam, former Man United legend. Jaap failed, set records failing with FC Cincinnati. And then over the last 8 to 10 games of that 2020 season or 2021 season, new management came in and basically said, we want to see Brandon play. Okay. So he was playing very well at the end of the year, I think had a couple of goals, but he showed a lot. And then 2022 came and he had competition. You know, of course we had our talisman in Brenner, you had Lucho Acosta coming in. And then you had a couple of MLS veterans, but you know, Brandon had his shot and he took it, man. He, I think he had 20 goals across his first, or in his MLS season last year, maybe across all competitions, ended up being an all-star MLS best 11 in 2022. And you just know, you know, this kid's a hard worker. He's put in the effort. You just see all the, you know, just look on his Instagram and the extra things he does with different, health professionals in the city. And he just, you know, burst onto the scene and really hasn't looked back.
So tell me a little, well, just to stay on this topic, what correlation would you say is the club's recent success connected to Vasquez? Just, I don't know if, you know, would say like the light bulb went off on him. Like
it, sure,
he figured it out. Do you correlate those two things together, or it's just a coincidence that it's just he blossomed and the club started to take off these last couple of years?
So Brandon's a smart soccer player. Okay, put that out there. It's not his physical gifts. It's not his technical skills. It's honestly, the guy is a top-end run maker, and he knows where to get himself in the positions to succeed. And when you have a number 10 like Lucho Acosta and you had a Brenner, you know, they were able to put him in positions where he was able to score buckets of goals. But he also does everything around. You know, he presses, he eats minutes, he has the work rate, whether it's the first minute or the 90th minute. this guy's going to go out with little to no ego and do every single thing that you need to do to be a winner. And he sat on the bench at Atlanta, and he learned from some of the best there. And I think he transitioned that to Cincinnati, and a mentality, which you need at Monterey. I mean, you guys are tops down there in Liga MX, and he's going to have that intangible skill of what it takes to keep that and, you know, win the league and get into Champions League and win Champions League and hopefully go to the Club World Cup for you guys. So I think he's got that mentality plus all the other, you know, tremendous soccer skills that I'm sure we'll get
into. That mentality is like music to anybody listen that's a Monterrey supporter, is like music to their ears, because Monterrey has had talented players, right? But it's, what's that saying? I'm blanking here, but, you know, hard work, that extra, and that's what Monterrey has kind of like lacked for them to not like win the league consistently. Like, yes, they'll spend a lot of money in vert, but they'll always come up short. It's like the Knicks in basketball, or it's like the Maple Leafs in hockey, where they'll spend money, but they fall short. You know, obviously they won in 2019, but when you spend a lot of money like they do, you're supposed to not just win a one-off, you know, league title. You're supposed to be winning two or three titles in 5 or 6 years, right? But so yeah, that mentality right there is going to stick out a lot, those mentality comments. But more to the tactical side, you just mentioned that. And one of the ways I got introduced into Cincinnati was that Brenner transfer, because that was like out of nowhere. It's like, he's a really talented Brazilian, now he's coming over to the US. How did that work? Just that two striker for, you know, when they play together, and obviously Acosta, try to paint as best you can of a picture for somebody who is not familiar with Cincinnati and how those guys were able to orchestrate their attack.
Certainly. So Brenner really played very well in 2022. And unfortunately in 2023, Brandon had a revolving door cast up top, and you kind of saw him struggle a little bit. But when you have Lucho Acosta and Brenner and Brandon Vasquez up there, you have three guys who knows what it takes to, who knows what it takes to score, knows what it takes to be, to get into good chances to score. You saw, you know, Brandon had 15 more shot opportunities in 2022 versus 2023 because he knew how to work with those technical guys. Okay, Brenner is a great striker, but he also can create for that secondary guy like Brandon. You know, Brandon's never has been a talisman, but he's always been a tremendous, you know, I would say if you have two strikers, 1A, 1B, you know, he's kind of that guy. As I kind of said, he's the run maker, but he also draws guys off the Brenner, off the Lucho, to get those guys into open space. He sees, okay, you might be going towards, you know, a certain direction, and if he takes his run a different way, he's going to pull that center back. So now it's a 2v1, it's 1v1. And a better opportunity for your other guys. So he gives that, you know, that look, as well as just the ability to be in the right spots. Explosive, especially when it comes to getting into that closing distance for the shot. So making his run, having your 10 or your winger deliver that ball into there, that final 10-yard sprint, he is epic. I think there was a moment in the 2022 MLS playoffs where he was timed the fastest closing run to score a goal in the league the whole year. His top end speed, that sprint speed to get there to finish that opportunity. Now, he's not going to be a blazing fast guy all over, but you know, he does have that, I would say, closing speed. And then this year, he was kind of put in a difficult position. And this is probably where it's great for Monterrey, because you're having a guy learn and still getting, you know, he's 25, he's still learning how to play. While we were still tops in the league, there were certain games where we were not able to possess the ball. We had some weaknesses in the midfield, some injuries. And so sometimes it's Brandon on Brandon Island, where he would get a long ball and he'd have to hold it up for the two wingbacks to get forward to Lucho Acosta. And he struggled a little bit. He, you know, if you go look at his stats, you know, some of his giveaways are a little bit disappointing, but he got better with that. So, I mean, this guy is going to be, you know, he's made himself a more complete player over his time with FC Cincinnati, learning to play with different skill sets.
And one last thing in terms of his characteristics before I touch on any weaknesses or things that he needs to improve in your eyes, how would you rate his header game? Because that's one of the things I stood out like to me, and Monterrey hasn't had like a consistent striker header threat. Like, and whether it's the U.S. men's national team or FC Cincinnati, I always see goals from header, from Ariel. That's what has stood out to me. I don't know if you agree or not, or if I'm just, you know, watching too many, highlights on YouTube. But like, is that something that stands out to him, or am I reading too much into YouTube right there?
Come on, you're talking about an American soccer player not good at headers. You wouldn't last. Now he's very talented in the air. It's all about his runs. He's gonna, see where he needs to go. Maybe get a pick set, organize his guys to get on opportunities. I think his video this year probably doesn't show it as well because we really weren't crossing the ball in a ton. We are very unique, 3-5-2 system this year, which is kind of everything kind of was kind of coming off that left side with Alvaro Barrial, the left wing back, that's probably going over to a Ligue 1 side, Lucho Acosta. So it was a lot more on the ground. But that being said, if you have a quality service, Brandon is going to be competent, more than competent, in the air, especially defending too on corner kicks.
Okay. So what are some things that you noticed? Obviously he's improved vastly. He wouldn't be starting, for FC Cincinnati, for a team that was challenging for MLS Cup last season. But what are some things that you kind of noticed that maybe he needs to work on, or at some point, at 25, 26, he's a finished product, but what are some things maybe that he has to work on, or just some weaknesses that Monterrey supporters should be aware of?
Sure. Well, I don't think he's going to be a guy that, you give him the ball and you're going to expect him to dribble through three or four players. He's not going to be that guy. He might be able to beat, some guys 1v1, hold up the ball in the midfield, but he's a guy that wants the ball played to his feet in the box and get that boot on it. Weakness, left foot, definitely I would say one-footed player. He's definitely got stronger in that left foot, but he will heavily go towards that right foot. I don't know what the skill set is with center backs in Liga MX, but I know in MLS, center backs very, very, very physical, have no problems putting you on the ground. That kind of hurt him a little bit in his hold up play, but he got better. But also, one thing I think is a positive is he learned how to take some fouls versus trying to play through some things. He got very good at knowing when to take that professional foul going down. He's not a guy that dives by any stretch of the imagination, but he's smart in that. That's what you're going to see with Brandon Vasquez, is on his worst day or maybe a stretch of games, five games where he doesn't have a goal, you still see him do a ton of great things that sets up other players. Okay. I think for if you look at like the last seven games FC Cincinnati, I think he had one goal, but you still see, Bupenza, who's our designated player that we brought in, start succeeding. You have other guys still getting opportunities because Brandon is doing what he needs with those runs and occupying guys around the box. I do think there are some moments where you'll see him get a ball in, like any forward, and he misses a clear cut chance. I don't think he's going to be infallible in front of the box, but he will make many of those. You should have made those more than he misses. That being said, he is a confidence guy. He sometimes scores in streaks. Like, we'll have like 7 goals in 10 games, then he might not score a goal in 5. But he's not the guy that, that I always would complain about Brenner, where he'll score a hat trick and then he won't score for 5 games. He'll score 4 goals and then he won't score. Brandon's always that 1 or 2 goal game guy. He's never going to go stone cold. But he might not be able to change a game by himself. He's definitely reliant on some technical players around him.
So last thing before we get into Cincinnati as a club entirely, in terms of Vasquez, what did you attribute? Obviously, his goal scoring fell off this year, and you kind of touched on a little bit just the system and all that. But what are some I guess theories, and you can't get into the locker room or you can't get into a player's head, but what are some theories that you attribute to, whether it's maybe thinking about his future or just the system itself, that the goal scoring kind of went down this past season?
Well, that's a great question, and I will put a caveat to it. His league goals were down. That the guy still scored 21 goals this calendar year, between 17 goals with MLS, Leagues Cup, US Open Cup, the playoffs. He scored 4 goals for Team USA in the summer in the CONCACAF Gold Cup, a friendly in the winter. So the guy still scored. The guy still had 21 goals professionally this past year. So I wouldn't say stone cold, but I think how FC Cincinnati played was definitely a contributing factor. You know, you had Lucho Acosta, MVP of the league. He took a lot of chances himself. Alvaro Barrial, who's our left wing back, that's probably going to be sold for another, you know, $7 to $10 million fee somewhere in Europe. He was a tremendous a partner almost off that left side with Lucho Acosta, where maybe Brandon was getting the ball a little bit more last year, where Barrial would take some of those chances this year. Also, the fact that he played with 3 runners up top with Sergio Santos, Dom Baggi, when Brenner, you know, Brenner was sold. I think he played a couple games this year and then was sold over to Italy. You know, those two guys in Baggi and Santos are pure runners, not traditionally great technical players. So it was more Brandon holding the ball up and playing those guys into space, which again, it grew Brandon's game, but they're not necessarily returning the favor. Bupenza comes in and he is a big ego guy. I want the ball. I'm going to rip the shot from distance. And I think Brandon starved a little bit there. But Brandon still, as I said 18 times during the show, makes the runs, opens up space for Bupenza to have those 1v1 opportunities.
So another side of the coin on this transfer is that Brandon Vasquez could be returning in a couple of months. I believe it would be the round of 16 would be March, if I'm not mistaken. But Monterrey is playing Comunicaciones from Guatemala. And you can tell me the team. I know it's a Jamaican side, but their name is escaping me. But it's a Jamaican side. Both teams are favorite. I mean, I know anything can happen. 90 minutes. I mean, we saw last year with Austin FC, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit, but Austin FC fell to a Haitian side. I attribute more of that to the manager getting a little too cocky and going with the B squad against the Haitian squad for that first leg. But both of these teams are on a collision course to face in that round of 16, with the winner getting that golden ticket to face Messi and friends, you know, in that quarterfinals. So let's talk about a little bit of FC Cincinnati. This is a preview to the preview that we should be doing. You know, again, obviously 90 minutes or 180 minutes, anything can happen, but these two are the favorite. But with Vasquez now gone, how do you see FC Cincinnati building their team for 2 competitions? I believe this is the first time they're in the CONCACAF Champions League Cup or whatever you want to call it now. But how do you see the money he's bringing in? How do you see the club spending it and trying to build a team that's going to be able to compete in 2 competitions simultaneously?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question. So it was important to get this deal done early, I think, for both sides, right? So I'm not sure how many of your listeners know all the intricacies of Major League Soccer and the budget. So essentially, you give a salary cap, and then within those caps, you have certain mechanisms called different types of allocation money. Okay, so it's about how you take a player who makes X and you give them a certain budget hit against your salary cap, right? So selling Brandon will allow FC Cincinnati to have essentially a bonus like $1.2 million in flexible roster spend. And we spent some of that this morning in bringing in U.S. men's national team starting center back Miles Robinson, which I think I tweeted at you today that this morning I was on cloud nine and this afternoon I was crying. No, in all honesty, you know, the flexibility this sale gives us, you know, you ppocket that money to the, you know, the 7.5, what you get to pocket like 6 of that or spend it, you know, with transfer fees. But then you get certain amount of that you can spend in your salary cap. So we don't get to take all 7.5 million and buy, you know, spend that on our roster. We're limited a little bit, but it does give us a tremendous amount of flexibility. So what I kind of wrote out here is, essentially, you sell Brandon, you get to bring in Miles Robinson, and you get to spend a bunch of change that would be the equivalent to another Brandon, almost like $1.1 million player. So it gives us a lot of flexibility to get this done early and get our shopping list going for February when we start getting games. I think there's some some news coming around of maybe an MLS veteran guy. I think that makes a lot of sense with Bupenza being the quote unquote talisman up top. I think you need to get a guy that might be a little bit more willing to be technical, get the ball into Bupenza and help Acosta get some more space in the box. So I think I don't know if you're going to see a hold up guy. We'll see what happens, but there's also talk of maybe even going from the 3-5-2 that we're into maybe a 4-4-2 diamond, maybe a setup for FC Cincinnati. So I think it's going to be definitely a changed side. But I'm excited to see how we go. Sad to lose Brandon. Absolutely.
And what are some weaknesses that you kind of want shored up? Once you know that Champions League starts going, the MLS starts going, what are some weaknesses that you kind of like, okay, we need to cover this before we start, the ball gets rolling on two competitions?
So we are going to have to replace our starting left wing back, Avril Barrial. And then you're going to have to replace or re-sign our starting right back and former Atletico Madrid right back, Santiago Arias. Arias they declined his option. He's being linked with some other teams in South America as well as back in Europe. I'm not sure that's realistic. So the two fullbacks and really who we sign in those fullback positions, I think will dictate how we look going forward. If we go out and get a Alvaro Barrial, completely offensive type guy, I think you'll see us in the 3-5-2. If we go for a more standard all-around defensive kind of minded, what can still sprinkle in the attack left back, I think you're going to see us more in that 4-4-2 diamond shape. I think you're going to see a very young guy, Marco Angulo, who is a fringe Ecuadorian national team player. I think he's probably going to transition into the starting lineup for FC Cincinnati, but I wouldn't be shocked one bit if we go out and get another defensive midfield guy who's a solid player, maybe making $1 million or so a year. I think that'd be a nice little backup to get, or maybe a starter to get for FC Cincinnati to get some more flexibility. Again, depends on, if we go with that 3-5-2 or if we go with a 4-4-2. I think you're going to need to see more midfield depth regardless, but depending on how much they want to spend, I think we'll also, be dictated on the fullback situation. So it could be definitely be a different side than what you see or have seen this past year. Of course, we did lose one of our starting center backs this year he was a Wolves loanee, but bringing in his name is Yerson Mascheri, he's a tremendous player, probably one of the best center backs that we had in Major League Soccer this year. But bringing in Miles Robinson in that center back role, I think is basically just a statement of, hey, we want to be more solid defensively. Of course, combat Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, and see what happens with Major League Soccer this year in that Super Club.
So, last question: What are your expectations going into this Champions Cup? Obviously, Austin FC didn't do, I would say rookie. They were pretty bad.
They were trash all last year. So let's. they were definitely trash all last year.
So what are your expectations going into this tournament? Obviously, your club's first. Definitely, like I said, the favorites against the Jamaican side and on a collision course for, to face Monterrey if they advance against the Comunicaciones. But what are your expectations going into this tournament? How is the fan base? I mean, I kind of started following your account a little bit in terms of when the draw happened. Like, I wanted to see once the draw was all finalized, who we're going to face, who's on that bracket. I just wanted to make sure, who should I follow once that time comes around. But what's your reaction? The fan bases, what are your expectations for this tournament?
So 2023 and 2024 for FC Cincinnati are very different. 2023 FC Cincinnati came in with nearly a complete roster. We were integrating a couple fringe pieces on a already very capable roster. This year we're having to replace 4 or 5 starters. So I could see some issues beginning in the year, but fortunately you have 2 U.S. men's national team center backs in Matt Miazga and Miles Robinson in the center back roles. You have Obi Wobodo, who to me is the best defensive midfielder in Major League Soccer. The reason why we didn't win MLS Cup, frankly, was because Matt Miazga was suspended for going in a locker room, which, you know, it's probably applauded in Liga MX, but I'm joking. He went in a referee's locker room after a playoff game, got suspended. Well,
I mean, you see that in Brazil. I remember one of the directors went
into
the bar.
Right now. In Turkey right now. Obi Wobodo was hurt. So you had two high-paid, high-profile guys, and we still took Columbus Crew to the brink, who was the eventual MLS Cup champion. So if you have those three, you know, the two center backs and that defensive midfielder sitting there, that is difficult for any team. Lionel Messi couldn't break them down for 120 minutes. They had two fluke goals off free kicks. And you just see Messi and who's the other? Jordi Alba and it's going to kill me. The defensive midfielder from Barca.
Busquets. They were
Busquets. They were, that was the only time the whole season. If you watch every game, like the two games versus FC Cincinnati, they're just like, what the heck? What are we doing here? They couldn't figure it out. So I think those three keep us defensively solid. And then anything can happen when you have Aaron Bupenza and Lucho Costa. They're two technically gifted players that can create chances out of nothing. And as long as you have those five players, I think you put a decent enough cast around them. I think we'll be able to challenge Monterrey. But you know, you guys are playing, you know, games here, what, next week. And we won't be playing games till the end of February. So we'll see what happens.
Last question. I lied. Last question. Messi Mania, your club, your fan base got to experience that in the US Open Cup.
Heck yeah.
Obviously, the clubs are focused on the trophy. Let's just clear. The clubs are focused. They're not focused on, hey, we get to face Messi. That's the fan base. Leave that to us. We're the ones that are like, hey, give us that golden ticket to have Messi and friends at our stadium, or, you know, a month. I think it would probably be like a month, you know, for the two legs. How was that? Just explain. So I want one of the supporters to paint it just to understand. Because you experienced it in a competition, the US Open Cup, in the semifinals, if I'm not mistaken. How was that? Just paint a picture. Try to paint a picture. Try to illustrate how wild that was for your fan base, even for your traffic, your podcast, everything that comes with Messi. Just give us the goods on that.
Eddie, if you put hashtag Messi in the description of this podcast, you'll get an additional 2,000 downloads. Trust me. It was surreal. So I'm blessed. I was season ticket holder number 7 for FC Cincinnati. Okay. So I basically had the choice of my seat in TQL Stadium, which is a gorgeous stadium in America. Of course, nothing like Monterrey have in that setup down there, but it's a stadium where they had Dos Acero a couple years ago for USA Mexico. I had to throw that in. So I had first row seats. I have first row seats in the end zone right behind the goal. And that was the goal that they took the penalties on. And seeing Messi right in front of me I took my son, spent like $500 on this, on my normal season ticket seats, which is BS. But I mean, dude, it was surreal. And the amount of people that flew in from Mexico, like they literally just, these people were like, I was talking to a guy, I think they were from Tijuana. They're like, yeah, no, we just, me and my brother and our son flew in because, you know, we randomly got seats and we just were here. And they had all the signs and Messi like waved to them, gave us thumbs up for a little flag that they had. I mean, it was surreal. And, you know, I'll never forget taking my son to that game and just seeing the best player in the world. You know, I wish we would have beat him. I would have loved that. We were the first team in Major League Soccer to beat him, and it was actually on the road in Miami, so that was pretty neat. FC Cincinnati did that, but yeah, I mean, Messi Mania, it's a blessing. I think a lot of people in Major League Soccer fan circles, you know, it kind of is a little frustrating how the last half of the year was dominated. MLSsoccer.com, you know, every newspaper was all about Messi. It wasn't about FC Cincinnati setting records and taking names, but It's surreal. Unfortunately, both times FC Cincinnati play Miami this year are coinciding with international breaks.
Oof. So, yeah.
So, I'm not going to see him this year, so I kind of hope we get to beat you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I cashed in my ticket. I got to see him. So I'll never forget that.
Ryan, really appreciate it. I know you didn't have to do this quick turnaround. Sure. We're recording, like I said, on the Wednesday that the Vasquez transfer broke. But anything you want to plug in, I know, if, like I said, if
sure.
Monterrey and Cincinnati are on a collision course, people are going to want to consume. At least I do. I go the anonymous round and be like, okay, what is it? What does FC Cincinnati say? I know I did that with the LAFC. I'll be like, let me listen to a podcast or to a video podcast or whatever. Let's see what they're saying. Let me see.
Yeah.
And so what were some, I know I followed you and I retweeted the story that you wrote on Vasquez. What are some other, I know you said you have three podcasts. Where can people follow everything that you guys are producing? So when the time comes around, people come listen.
Cincinnati, CincinnAti. Unfortunately, the general population of these states doesn't even know how to spell Cincinnati, but it's Cincinnati Soccer Talk or Cincy, CincY Soccer Talk. We are fan driven. We got about 15, 16 guys on staff, or men and women on staff, photographers. We were that first outlet really that covered FC Cincinnati, and we've maintained that through today. It's a labor of love. Don't make any money doing it. I know my wife probably wishes I would quit. but it's all about getting people involved. We don't have that history that a lot of these clubs do, like Monterrey. I mean, golly, I was looking up, you guys today and just seeing like the titles and the domestic treble in 2020. And it's just like, we had one supporter shield, and I thought that was the coolest feeling on earth. I couldn't imagine what all the stuff you guys do.
Fire. If once I went 2019, everybody's already losing their mind. Like, we should be winning more. Why aren't you winning more? Fire everybody. Why aren't you replacing this player? This player? Like, it's wild.
and that's the thing that scares me a little bit with Brandon. Okay. He's not, I don't say, he's not the leading the line guy. If you're just basically, if he's your solo guy up top and not getting consistent service into the right spaces, I'm a little worried about him.
Well, he's going to have Germán Berterame, who's really good. If you need to go back, watch the Salt Lake City game, the Portland, he got the Seattle game too. He got injured in that Leafs Cup, artificial turf. I hate artificial turf. And then you have Sergio Canales, who came over from Real Betis.
Sure.
So he's going to have two guys. One arguably can be playing. I mean, he came over from Atletico Madrid. He was one of those players that they just purchased and eventually sold. And then you got another guy who has a lot of good European experience. So he's going to have some talent to play with. He's going to have two guys that maybe they can take the focus away from him and be like, hey, we'll lead the charge offensively. You come in as a supporter, back us up, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of wanted to touch on that Acosta Brenner, because I feel like it's going to be a similar situation.
Sure. And he's good with it. He's got no ego. He can kill off a game. He was used to killing off games. I think he's a better starter because, the guy eats minutes. I mean, he's going to be the best in shape guy on your team. So he's our leading, club's leading scorer. I hope he scores buckets for you guys. That being said, it's kind of a win-win, no-lose scenario for Monterrey, because in 2 years or a year, San Diego comes along here in MLS. And guess what? If Brandon Vasquez doesn't do it,
and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Cincinnati has a sell-on clause too. I read it in the 10%. Athletic. So, okay. Yeah. So, they'll get a chunk.
You could sell him to San Diego and be like, dude, kid's homecoming. So, it's a no lose situation for you guys. That being said, he is the second tier of the U.S. setups forwards. He's the best guy that's not in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Jesus Ferreira, but that's a whole nother can of worms, which I would rather have Vasquez over Ferreira any day of the week. Literally the only reason why Vasquez didn't make the 2022 World Cup is because the coaches were it's too late to integrate him. And yet everybody's like, if you had Brandon Vasquez, game over. So I think there's some issues there, but I mean, he's a great kid. He's going to do everything you ask. He's used to, you know, the Mexican setup being from FMT, or he maybe not used to it, but he has some knowledge of the Liga MX setup. So it's not like flying a guy in from Spain and be, here you go. I mean, he's going to have that history, which I think will be beneficial.
I don't want to keep you too long because then I don't want your wife getting mad that I'm this wasn't planned. This wasn't a setup. This was right on the fly as we're doing it.
You get me here, I'll be talking all night, man. Yeah, we just got traded in the bourbon for tequila.
Yeah. Like I said, this is not the first time this is not the first conversation we should be having. And I'm hope to come on your guys' show. One of your guys, like you said, you have a good staff. Bring on another guy to give us their perspective on the matchup. I really hope that this isn't the first time we come talking. Hopefully Monterrey takes care of business against Comunicaciones and you guys take care of business against the Jamaican side. And then we're on a collision course for the round of 16. So like I said, hopefully this is not the last time we're talking about, but yeah, hopefully everybody can follow you guys, get a nice little picture of what FC Cincinnati has to offer this season. And yeah, I mean, like I said, appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.